From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're glad you have joined us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues the study of Paul's Epistle to the Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Basic Christianity. We've already mentioned that in the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle thanks God for certain characteristics of the Colossian believers. There are three particular words that stand out in these verses: faith, love, and hope. As we've seen, faith in Christ is the foundational grace of Christianity. Then, love is the relational grace which binds together those who have trusted Christ as Savior. Finally, Paul speaks of hope, the inspirational grace, a realization of the hope we have in Christ, of seeing His glory in heaven, is what will enable us to live in joy on this earth. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, we call your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is Remind God of His Promise. The text is Genesis 32 and verse 12. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. This is the sure way of prevailing with the Lord in prayer. We may humbly remind Him of what He has said. Our faithful God will never run back from His word, nor will He leave it unfulfilled. Yet He loves to be inquired of by His people and put in mind of His promise. This is refreshing to their memories, reviving to their faith, and renewing to their hope. God's word is given not for His sake, but for ours. His purposes are settled, and He needs nothing to bind Him to His design of doing His people good. But He gives the promise for our strengthening and comfort. Hence He wishes us to plead it and say to Him, Thou saidst. I will surely do thee good is just the essence of all the Lord's gracious sayings. Lay a special stress on the word surely. He will do us good, real good, lasting good, only good, every good. He will make us good, and this is to do us good in the very highest degree. He will treat us as He does His saints while we are here, and that is good. He will soon take us to be with Jesus and all His chosen, and that is supremely good. With this promise in our hearts, we need not fear angry Esau nor anyone else. If the Lord will do us good, who can do us hurt?
Love abide, God will take care of you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
What I'm saying to you is that the world hates and despises saints. But if your heart has ever been touched by grace, and here's something to give yourself a real good test by. If your heart has ever been touched by grace, you will love the saints of God. I'm worried about people who can glibly say they're saved, but they're at home with the cursing, swearing, mocking, blaspheming, drinking, drug-taking crowd. They're at home with the world in all its wickedness, but they have no heart except of criticism for the saints of God. I worry about people like that, because the mark of a believer, if a heart is touched by grace, he will love the saints, because you see, all believers are saints. And if you're a saint, then those believers, those saints, are your spiritual kith and kin. And it's as unnatural for me to hate the saints of God as it would be to hate my own family or my own flesh. Paul rejoiced that these people proved the reality of their faith by their love for the saints. I think he was giving thanks because their love was more than a mere matter of words. It was a genuine love for all the saints. It was a commitment to do good to the saints of God. This is something that the writers of the New Testament take up. The love that saints have for each other. In 1 John chapter 3, we have the celebrated passage from the Apostle John. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Here's the rejoicing. They didn't love just from the teeth out. Paul had good cause, therefore, to rejoice over such a church. Happy is the church that fulfills the 133rd Psalm. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He likens it to that precious ointment with which the high priest was anointed upon the head, and it ran down to the beard, all the way down to the skirts of his garments. How precious it is. How Christ-like it is. How much of the sweetness of the sanctuary is found in the love of the brethren for each other. This is not a unity of indifference. Let me emphasize this. Brethren dwelling together in unity means more than simply brethren sitting in church together without fighting. It should mean that, but a whole lot more. It's more than the unity of indifference. It's more than the unity of mere toleration. This is the active unity of a genuine love, loving Christ in his people. Loving Christ in his people. You see, saints are, according to the Savior himself, to be preeminently marked by love. We all know John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Put this the other way around. What I'm saying, what the New Testament is teaching, is that Christians are not to be a bitter and angry people. Now that's simple. I'm going to be very personal now to you. And if this hits home, I have no apology. If you're running around with a chip on your shoulder as deep as the Grand Canyon, you're living in bitterness and suspicion and anger and alienation from your brethren because of some real or perceived or imagined hurt or slight or whatever. Listen, that's sin. That's sin. We know what to do about sin. Our Savior has made provision for sin. Here's what we're told, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Without wanting to get into Ephesians 4:31, can you see how this works back, that evil speaking produces clamor, which produces anger and wrath and leads to bitterness? So he just starts with your tongue and says, watch your tongue. Let this all be put away with all malice. You see, there's the root of it all. There you have the intention. Malice. It's the very opposite to love. Love is the commitment to do good to a person. It's not an emotion merely. It is a commitment of heart and mind and will. The word has that within it. It is a word that is deliberately speaking of putting the mind and will into something to make for the good of its object. Malice is the very opposite. Where love would build up, malice would tear down. It says that has no place among God's people. The Lord Jesus, of course, went so far as to say that you're to love your enemies. Now, Paul argued from that, if you're to love your enemies, how much more should you work with your friends? In Galatians 6:10, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That's it. Especially to them who are of the household of faith. Do good to all men, especially to the saints. Paul says, I thank God that in the Colossian church there's a love for all the saints. And then the third grace is hope laid up in heaven. I call this the inspirational grace, and I do it because there is in verse 5 a peculiarity that doesn't come out too clearly in our English version. The word for in English is a little word that has multiple meanings. And this is an occasion where we can fall in between the cracks and miss the meaning. It says, on account of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Now there are two possible meanings or ways of understanding it. Paul was thankful on account of the hope that was laid up for them in heaven. That's possible grammatically. The other meaning possible, and I think much more obvious meaning, is that they exercised their faith and love on account of the hope that was laid up for them in heaven. In other words, the hope that was laid up for them in heaven is what inspired them. It's what energized them. It's interesting to me that Paul did not simply say that he was thankful that they exercised faith and love and hope. They did exercise those things, but that's not what he said. If he had put it like that, you see, the main emphasis or the main idea would have been that he was thankful they were faithful, loving, and optimistic. Now, they were all that, but if that's what he had said, then the reason for their optimism would have been unstated and merely implied. But as the text stands, Paul makes the hope more than a virtue that they exercise. It's objective. The objectivity or the objectiveness of something, to use a word that doesn't exist, but I'm not the one who coined it, is the out-there-ness of an object. In other words, it's not in here, it's out there. In other words, it's not dependent on my feeling. It's real in itself. This hope is something that is an eternal reality that is completely independent of their frame of mind. In other words, they didn't have hope because they were optimistic. They were optimistic because they had an eternal hope. This hope is laid up in heaven. Chapter 1, verse 12 speaks of it as the inheritance of the saints in light. Peter, in his second epistle, the first epistle, chapter 1, speaks of the inheritance undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. That's the hope. One of the most beautiful descriptions of it in the New Testament is found in Galatians 5, verse 5, where Paul calls it the hope of the righteousness of faith. What is that? It's the hope of our justification. It's the hope inherent in being justified. It's the hope inherent in being united to Christ. It's the hope inherent in being now accepted of God in Christ. What's the result of that? Eternal glory. Eternal glory. Now here we have a difficulty. The difficulty is not in the Bible, the difficulty is in us. We live in an age where we become so educated, so scientifically, technologically advanced, that we know what death is. It's been explained medically, it's been explained in so many ways as to rob it either of its terror to the ungodly, or of its glory for the Christian. We have got so well used to the wealth of the world that the shining brightness of glory has become dim to our eyes. Not so with those New Testament Christians. They had before them a hope. My prayer for me and for you today is that God would strip away the cataracts of the world from off our eyes and let us see that hope of glory, the brightness of the inheritance of the saints, because that's what inspires God's people to live by faith and in love for the brethren.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.